evening. Lord, give us a good crowd this morning. I was surprised, thankful. Poor Billy Gillespie, he couldn't make it. He got flooded out, didn't you, brother? I tell you, the water got high over there over the road. And we're glad to have him, Sister Michelle, here this evening. Colossians 1, we're going to read our text tonight. We're going to be looking at verses 9 through verses 14. And this, if you got notes in your Bible, verses 9 through 14 is a prayer. It's an inspired prayer, if you want to call it that. You know, the Bible says it all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Does anybody know what that word inspiration means in 2 Timothy 3:16? God breathed. God breathed is what it means. Of course, think about it a little bit. What makes your words is your breath. And what he's teaching you is that God's word is verbally inspired of the Lord. This isn't just words of men, but this book is the word of God. And that's why it's so very important to believe in what we call verbal inspiration. Theonoustos, it's God breathed. Now, tonight in verses 9 through 14, in this particular text, it's going to focus on a prayer. And what I think I'll do is go ahead and read it, and then we'll get into it. For this cause we also, since today we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See the prayer? He mentions that he's praying for him. I haven't checked them all. I've teached through the whole New Testament, but I could probably safely say in every epistle he would give thanks and prayed for the churches that he was writing to. Okay? Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us met or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's the prayer. Let us pray again now. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for everyone that come tonight. And Lord, we pray your blessings upon this meeting this evening. We pray that you'd add more on Sunday nights as the weather improves. And we pray that people will come and be blessed by this teaching of this epistle. We pray that you'd save souls in our midst, Lord. We'd see people saved and see people added. We pray for those that are hurting tonight for different reasons. We pray for them that are sick and afflicted. And we pray your blessings upon this meeting in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to do is, since verses 9 through 14 is a prayer, I'm going to entitle this The Worthy Walk. The Worthy Walk. I was going to name it something with regard to prayer, but decided not to. We're going to entitle it The Worthy Walk. Now, when the Bible speaks of your walk, it's talking about your life after that you're saved. The day that you were born again, the day that you trusted Jesus as your Savior, that, of course, was the day that you were saved. But now that you're saved, what you got to understand is now there's a walk with the Lord. There's a walk with the Lord. And really what determines your joy is how close that walk is with Jesus. And I'm going to say this one more time, and I say it all the time. You're just as close to Jesus as you want to be. You can be as close to him as you want. But what determines that is choices that you make with regard to how you spend your time. There needs to be time set aside for God's house, don't you think, so you can hear God's word and be with God's people. There needs to be time set aside at your home where you're praying. You need a prayer time and you need a Bible study time. Time is very important with regard to your walk with the Lord. And it requires time in order to be close to Jesus. Now, if you don't spend no time with Jesus, if you don't spend no time in his house, in his word, or with his people, then the result of that is that you'll drift and you won't be as strong spiritually as you should. Now, this is what I found to be true. The closer you are to the Lord, the happier you'll be. And the more you drift out of fellowship with the Lord, the more unhappy you'll become. You can't be, if you can't be born again and close to Jesus, you can't be born again and drift out of fellowship with Jesus and be happy. You'll never find anybody that way. I talk to people all the time, and sometimes they'll have a lot, and they'll have a nice home, and they have a nice car, and they have a lot of money. And they'll say, "Oh, Jeff, I'm just so miserable." And I say, "You're miserable because you're not close to Jesus. You got a profession of faith in Jesus, but you're not close to Jesus. And you can be just as close to Him as you want to be. And you need to choose to do that every day of your life." Okay? All right. Now, let's go ahead and begin at verse 9. "For this cause, since the day that we heard it, don't cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding. So this first request, he's making requests for the Colossians. Who's praying here, Paul? Who's he praying for? He's praying for the Colossian church. Remember, he never started this church. He heard of them, and he's writing to them, and he's praying for them. That's the kind of man he was. That's the kind of man he was. He knew there was a Christian congregation there in Colossae, and he prayed for them, though he never started the church. It's what he did. So notice back at verse 9, he ceased not to pray for them. Now, what I'm going to do tonight, since I entitled this The Worthy Walk, what I'm going to do is give you some of the descriptions that these verses describe as being a worthy walk. What is a worthy walk with the Lord? What is that? What does someone do that walks worthy of the Lord? Now, keep in mind one thing. When we're talking about a worthy walk, that doesn't mean that we're worthy of salvation. It doesn't mean anything like that. The word worthy means to have a suitable walk. In other words, if you're born again, if you're a Christian, then your life is to bear that out. That's the idea of a walk with the Lord. Salvation, when you trusted Jesus, that's when your walk with Jesus began. And you walk with Him all your days. One of the great texts in God's Word is in the book of Genesis 5. I believe it's verse 22. And it talks about Enoch. It says he walked with God. That's a tremendous statement, isn't it? What did he do? He walked with God. That means him and God was tight. He was tight with the Lord. And in order to have a walk with God, in order to have a walk with Him, you have to spend time. You have to spend time in Him. Well, his request is that they would increase. Everybody see it? His request is that they would increase and be filled with knowledge and with wisdom and with spiritual understanding. How does that happen? How do you get filled? Look at it again. He requested that they would be filled with knowledge, knowledge of His will. Of whose will? The Lord's will. You need to know what the Lord's will is. Where do you find the Lord's will at? You find it in His book. If you want to know what the Lord's will is, you find it in His book. He wanted them to be filled with knowledge of His will in all wisdom and in all spiritual understanding. It's very important that we grow in knowledge of the Lord. Very important that we do that. We need to have the type of walk that's pleasing to Him, a walk that is pleasing to Him. Now, I've just quoted this, but I want you to turn to Genesis 5, and I want you to read a little bit more of this text. Genesis chapter 5, and I want you to notice that the verse 22. Genesis chapter 5 and the verse 22. Now, I just quoted it, I realize, but I want you to look at it. If you don't have it marked, I want you to mark it. Our title is A Worthy Walk. A Worthy Walk. And we're going to describe to you what a worthy walk is. You need to know what a walk with the Lord is. What's the beginning of your walk with the Lord? What starts it? Salvation. Your walk with the Lord begins with salvation. You can't walk with the Lord, Mike, unless you're saved. You have to be born again first. You got to be in the family first. That's where it all begins. But now that we're born again, we want to have the kind of walk that's pleasing to the Lord. And one of the men in Scripture that is known for that is the one that I just quoted there a little while ago. In Genesis chapter 5, notice what it says in verse 22. And Enoch, verse 22, walked with God. Now, hadn't that a testimony? I want you to think about what that says. I wish you could put that across my tombstone if I die. That'd be a good thing. Jeff Arthur walked with God. How'd you like that? Rick Casto walked with God. Max Nelson walked with God. Wouldn't that be a tremendous thing to leave behind? I mean, here, this man of God lived thousands of years ago, and he's still speaking today because his name is in the book. And the book records about him that he walked with God, and that simply means that him and God were tight. That means you can't walk with God without spending time with God. When you walk with somebody, that requires you to be close to them too, doesn't it? You ever walk with somebody? Every now and again you'll go out and you'll take a walk. And if you're walking with somebody, that person's pretty close to you. I want you to think about that just a little bit. If somebody's walking with you, Larry, they're walking close to you. And if you're going to walk with God, you have to be close to him. And that's where joy is at. So Enoch walked with God, and he begat Methuselah, 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And it says it again in verse 24, is why I turned to it. Says it again, and Enoch did what? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, and God took him. I mean, God just took him on to glory. He never died. He took him right direct to heaven. Think about that. Methuselah was his son. Okay? So, Enoch had this close walk with him. And he had the testimony that he pleased God. To walk with God is also to please God. It's the worthy walk. Walking as to please him is the worthy walk. Genesis 5:22-24, Enoch walked with him. Number two, the worthy walk is also a fruitful walk. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Keep your place there, and we'll show you some few things, and we'll move on. Matthew chapter 5. We're talking about walking with him. If you're walking close to the Lord, it's a pleasing walk. To walk with him, and it pleases the Lord. Matthew 5 and verse 16 describes another aspect of a walk with the Lord. Matthew 5 and 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So not only is this worthy walk a pleasing walk to the Lord, but it's also a fruitful walk. You want to have a fruitful walk with Jesus. You want to bear fruit. What does it mean to bear fruit? It's basically speaking of good works. Look at it at the end of verse 16. "Let your light so shine that they see your" what? Good works. Now, I want y'all to do something for me tonight. I want you to look back at the text. And I want you to tell this preacher, what's the purpose of good works according to verse 16? Somebody tell me. Somebody holler it. That's the purpose of good works. You don't do good works to get saved. You can't do enough works to get saved. That's why we needed a Savior to start with. Everybody agree with that? But now that you are saved, you seek to do good works. And you do those good works to bring glory to your Savior. That's what you want to do. That's why you live the life you live. And that's the purpose of works. Let your light so shine, they see your good works, and then they glorify your Father. They, man, look at the difference in, I love it. I like to hear it. I've noticed such a difference in this sister or this brother or this boy or girl since they've been saved. Well, that brings, I tell you, it ain't me. Lord saved me. And when he saved me, he changed my life. And that's what you're seeing. Is the fruit of that salvation. Isn't that a great thing? That's the worthy walk. It's a pleasing walk to the Lord, but it's also a fruitful walk. You'll see fruit in a person's life. I've told you this a lot of times. I get excited when people make professions of faith in Jesus. I do. I get real excited. But not like you think. I've been doing it a long time. I like to wait and see if it changes them. I like to wait and see if it changes them. I like to see if they change. I like to see if they got a spiritual appetite. I like to see if they're going to mind the Lord in baptism and things of that nature. I watch for that. I watch for a change. Do you guys watch for a change? And there's nothing wrong with that. You should see a change in a person when they're born again. So it needs to be a walk that is pleasing to the Lord, but a walk that is also fruitful to the Lord. Let's go to Ephesians 5. I got to give you these because you need it. We all need it. Ephesians 5. We're talking about our walk with the Lord. It needs to be a worthy walk. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice what it says in verse 8. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. If you can't find things, don't try, because I'm going to read it and you can get the CD and listen to it. I'm going to put it online anyhow. Verse 8 describes your walk again. Notice what it says. For ye were sometimes darkness. Now, that's describing before you were saved. You were in darkness. If you've never trusted Jesus, you're in darkness. You need to be brought over to the light. Everybody got me? That's why the Bible refers to lost people as being blind. I was blind, like the old song says, Amazing Grace. Now I see. And God give you light today, you was born again. And when we talk about God giving you light, what he does is he basically turns your light on. He opens up your understanding. 1 John 5:20 says he give you an understanding to know him that is true. And when that happens, you see it. I love to see people come forward after a church service and they'll go, Jeff, I see it. I want to get saved. Robbie, you did that, didn't you? I want to get saved. I see it. See it for the first time in my life. I see it. And that just means they understand it now. And that understanding come from the Lord. So ye were in darkness. That's where we was at before we was born again. Now ye are the light in the Lord. Now we're in the light. Now what else does it say? Walk as a child of light. Walk as your manner of living, the way you conduct yourself. After that you've been released from the power of darkness, after you've been born again and given the light of the gospel, he says, now live like it. Act like it. Conduct yourself like it. Why do we do that? Well, first of all, we want to represent the Lord well. If you're going to be a witness to people, you got to live the life. Do you agree? You got to, I mean, a person has to respect you as a Christian. A sinner man has to respect you to listen to you. If you don't live the life, they will not listen to you. I've been on jobs. Mike, have you been on jobs? All of y'all been on jobs before where someone would try to witness maybe, but their testimony was so bad nobody would listen to them. Got to change that. He says, now that you're no longer in darkness and you're saved, he says to walk like a child of light. It means to live like it. Conduct yourself like it. And that's an honor to do, isn't it, when you're born again. That's what you want to do. You want to live a life that is pleasing him. This life that we live is to be a pleasing walk, like Enoch. It's to be a fruitful walk where we produce fruits. Our light is to shine. And we're not to walk in darkness no more after that we're born again. We're to walk in the light. Turn to John 15 now. John 15. Talking about our walk with him. Our walk with the Lord. Now that you're born again, you should walk with him. You should mind him. Does the Lord want you to mind him? Is it a sin not to mind him? If he tells you to do something, do you think the Lord means for you to do it? It's a sin not to. Whatever it might be, he wants you to mind him. I want to mind him. I want to do what he says. And that gives you a name and it gives you a testimony and it's pleasing to the Lord. That's how he wants you to live. John 15 in verse 8. I want you to notice this in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much what? Now what's the purpose of bearing fruit according to that text? Tell me. Glorifying your Father. That's the same thing Matthew 5 said, wasn't it? We want to glorify our Father. We want to do good works, not to glorify ourselves. We want to do good works to glorify our Father. Because what we do, now that we name his name, what we do, Larry, everything we do reflects back on him. Everything we do reflects back on him. So we want to have a walk that is worthy And it's described as a pleasing walk, a fruitful walk, a walk that's in the light, and a walk that bears fruit. Can I give that to you one more time? The worthy walk is a walk that's pleasing, a walk that's fruitful, a walk that's in the light, and a walk that bears fruit. All God's people see it. All right, let's turn back to our text in the book of Colossians. Back to the book of Colossians. Now, I'm a grace man. Everybody in the house knows it. Everybody that knows me knows it. Boy, I still yet believe in doing good works. Grace doesn't mean you believe that there's a license to sin. And anybody that tells you that don't understand grace. Anybody that tells you that don't understand grace. Sometimes people say, well, Jeff, if I believe like you do, I'd go out here and sin all I want to. I said, listen, Jack. I shouldn't say Jack, should I? If your name's Jack. I said, listen now. I say, listen now. If you know the Lord, you're not going to want to go out and waller into pits of sin. You just don't want to do it. Because you realize you represent the Lord. You want to walk in such a fashion that is pleasing to Him. I'm a grace man. But I believe God's grace brings about a transformation in a person's life. And they're not the same anymore. Man, I hate it when I sin. I ain't going to tell you that I don't ever sin. And if I did, you'd call me a liar and run me off. We all sin. But I tell you what, sin bothers me. You notice sin bothering you, Stewie? You notice sin bothering you, Robbie? How about you, Larry? Sin bother you? You know why that is? Because you're born again. That's what it is. It bothers you. Holy Spirit's in you. You got a new nature in you. But you're still in a body of flesh. When you sin, it breaks your heart. That's why the Bible says that all things pass away. All things become new. Rick, you notice a change in you? Everybody else around you notices a change in you. There's a change in him. He's a whole lot different than he used to be. I think he's a whole lot. Y'all think Rick's a whole lot different? He's a whole lot different. I can't run him off. I've tried to run him off and can't even run him out of church. He's different. He lives a different life. His life is different now. And that's what the Lord does when he saves your soul. It's a total different thing. Not only does he saves you from hell, but he changes your life. Aren't you glad of that, Billy? He's not only saved you from hell, but he changes your life. What we have in salvation in the gospel message is the message we need to spread, because when people really trust it, Stewie, it changes their life forever. Oh, man. 1 Corinthians 6. I'm just going to preach, and if I don't get done, we'll just finish here next week. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I've read this to you a lot, and I wasn't planning on reading it tonight. I'll have to find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It describes the Corinthian church was in a bad spot, or you could say it was in a good spot. It was a very wicked place. It was a very wicked place. When you read in the book of Acts, when Paul went to Corinth, which was in southern Greece, man, he got ready to leave. It was a bad place. Good place to catch fish, I guess, because that's where the sinners were at, you know. But they were exceedingly bad. And he describes them here in 1 Corinthians 6. I want you to watch this now. I want everybody in the house to get this. He describes what the Corinth church people used to be like. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You see, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, you're not under the unrighteous category anymore, because you're under the justification category, which means declared righteous. Okay, everybody got that? The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice he gives us a list of sins here. Don't be deceived, neither a fornicator, broad term, all types of illicit sex, especially sex outside the bond of marriage, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind is a description of the homosexual lifestyle. Verse 10, thieves, covetous, drunkards, nor revelers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom. So they won't inherit the kingdom. Is that what it says? It describes these ungodly lifestyles, doesn't it? Describes all these ungodly lifestyles. Verse 11. Now watch the change. Watch the change here. Such were what? Some of you used to be this way. Did you notice such were? Such were. Some of you used to be like that list of sins there. There was people in the church of Corinth that lived these lifestyles. And what happened when they trusted Jesus, it says that they were washed. Everybody got it? Washed. Washed clean from their sins. Do you see what it means? They were washed. Washed clean. They were sanctified. And you know what the word sanctified means? It means to be set apart for a holy purpose. Oh, my. Think about it. Set apart. When they put articles in the temple, they had a special anointing oil they'll put on them. And it says that they were sanctified. That means they were set apart for a what? A holy purpose. When you trusted Jesus as your Savior, when He saved your soul, He set you apart for a holy purpose. All God's people say it. He did. I like it. He said, you're sanctified. You've been set apart for a holy purpose. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Well, we're to walk in a worthy way. Let's go back to our text in Colossians. Back to our text. Colossians chapter 1, we're looking at this prayer that he prayed. I told you I used to have that prayer remembered. I don't know what happened. I used to pray this prayer. Used to pray it for the church. I used to pray it for people. Used to pray it for myself. One time I could quote it, and when I take a prayer walk, I would pray this prayer. And you know why I prayed it, Neil? Because it's an inspired prayer. You know it's God's will because it's Bible. So I memorized it in my mind when I would pray that. And I think it makes a difference when you do it that way. Okay? All right, let's read on. He prayed that they would walk worthy. That's our title this evening. And the worthy walk is described. The worthy walk is described in verse 10. Are you ready for it? As a pleasing walk. Let me give it to you one more time. Number 2, a fruitful walk. Underline fruitful in verse 10. A walk that has good works. It's a worthy walk, a pleasing walk, a fruitful walk. And an increasing walk, increasing in the knowledge of God. Those are four fruits there that I wanted you to get. Okay, it's a pleasing walk, a fruitful walk, it's a walk in light, and it's a walk that bears fruit. Okay, verse 11. Strengthened with all might. He's prayed that they be fruitful, and now he prays that they be strengthened. Everybody see that in verse 11? Strengthened. Strengthened by his power is what it says. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Do you need strength? Can God strengthen you? Sometimes we need to be strengthened. How about you? Do you ever need to be strengthened? And he can, it says here, you can be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And he's omnipotent. Meaning he has all power. He can give you strength. Do you ever ask the Lord to give you strength? I do that often. I do it when I preach, because I need him so much when I preach. I do it when I study. I do it when I visit. You know, I do it, I'm constantly asking for the Lord to strengthen me. If I'm tempted to sin, I pray. I ask him to strengthen me. We do all of this is provided by the Lord. So we need to be strengthened with all by his power. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which... Do y'all believe that? Can you really do all things through Christ, which strengthens you? He can give you the strength to do things that you never thought were possible. Do we? Did you ever think you could live the life that you're living today? Well, no way. I've seen you tried a lot before and just never did make it, did you? It's different now. Lord touched your heart, and that's the change that you see. And he gives you the ability to live the life. He gives you the desire in your heart to live the life. He changes the way you think after that you're born again, because you have a desire to live such a fashion as to please him. This worthy walk is described as a pleasing and a fruitful walk. It's a walk in the light, a walk that bears fruit. It's also to be a walk that's patient. That's an enduring walk. It's not a walk for a while and then people goes back like a, it's a consistent walk with the Lord, a patient walk. It's a long-suffering walk. See that in verse 8? It's not only a patient walk, but it's a long-suffering walk. What is long-suffering? It's putting up with a lot. You might go through a lot as a Christian. That's what long-suffering. We need to be long-suffering. Things don't, it's not always peachy in our life. And in our life, at times, we need to have some long-suffering. We got to endure. And you know, the Lord can give us the strength to endure. He can give us the grace to go through things. You know, the Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Y'all remember it? I don't know. No, nobody really knows exactly what that thorn was, but we know a thorn hurts, don't it? And it sticks to you, and you want rid of it. And most people think Paul had poor eyesight, and they think that's what his thorn was. We just don't know. We just don't know. But God says, you know what, Paul? Yes, God three times to take that thorn away. He didn't like it. He didn't want it. You know what the Lord said? Uh-uh. You need it. He said, because of the abundance of revelations that you have, he had been prone to get what? Prideful. And ain't nothing more dangerous than for a preacher or any Christian to get prideful. So he allowed him to have this affliction, this thorn in his flesh. And the purpose of that thorn was to keep him humble and where he needed to be. And that's why he said, when I'm weak, then I am strong. So you think about that. That's a glorious thing. Let's move back to our text. I'm going to go ahead and finish this. That sound all right? Whether it sounds all right or not, I'm going to finish it. We're looking at this great prayer given in 9 and 10 and 11. It's a worthy walk. It's to be a pleasing and a fruitful walk, increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. Now let's move down. Let's move down to verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now what's he doing in this prayer now? He's giving what? Giving thanks. Always a reason to give thanks for. He made his request that they would be filled with the knowledge of the Lord and increase in spiritual understanding. That's what he's praying for them. He prayed that they would walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing. He prayed that they would be fruitful in every good work. That's what he's praying for. He prayed that they would be strengthened. He did all of that. Those are all requests that he was making for that, for those church people. We should pray this for our church people, don't you think? But then as he's starting to wind up, what's he say? Giving what? He's giving thanks. Man, you ought not ever pray without taking the time to give God thanks first. Changes how you pray, Rick, I'm telling you. We'll run to the Lord and start. Just take a little bit of time before you start and thank him for some things. Thank him for your salvation. Thank him for eternal life. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. Then move on to your request. Spend some time praising him first. And you know what I found out? I'll have a problem, Miss Big Around. And once I get through praising him for the greatness that he's done for me, that problem's that big around. Just from the praise part of it. It'll really indeed lift you up. So giving thanks is part of the worthy walk with the Lord. It must be a walk where you're giving thanks to him constantly. I do fear that we don't give thanks. I think, and I've told you this here recently too, and I tell it probably too much, if you can do such a thing, is your complain meter and your thanks meter. I just wonder how it is. If your complain meter is higher than your praise and giving thanks meter, you're going to be miserable no matter what. If you give thanks and praise and look at the great things that God's done for you in salvation and your praise meter is here and your complaint meter is here, listen to me. You'll be happy. If you complain more than you praise and that meter's highest, you're not going to be happy. Nothing will make you that way. All right, let's finish verse 13 and 14. Give me thanks to the Father who made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We've got a great inheritance, an inheritance with the saints. Now, the bad thing about the word saint is a lot of times we've lost what a saint is. There's a lot of people who think the word saint is something you get based on your works. But you become a saint in Christ Jesus. When you're in Christ Jesus, you're a saint. That means you're a holy one. And you're to conduct yourself that way too. But a saint is someone that attends Christ. Now let's verse 13. He's delivered us from the power of what? Delivered us from the power of darkness. Yeah, he has. He's delivered us from it. I was in darkness. Now I'm in the light. That's why the Bible says, walk like a child of light. Not in darkness no more. You know why I'm not in darkness? Because God called me out of darkness. Called me out. If he didn't call me out, I'd still be there. Y'all agree with me? You'd still be there. It's what the Bible says. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm in the light now. I'm a child of light too, and so are you. Glorious thing. He delivered us from the power of darkness. And you know something else he'll deliver you from while we're talking about the power of darkness? He can also deliver you from the sins of darkness. Now, I'm not saying you're going to live without sin, but I'm saying that when you're delivered from the power of darkness, he can break that holding on of sin that many people have. Y'all agree? I've seen people that had some pretty bad addictions in their life. And I've seen through the power of God that band broken. Poof. Broken. West Virginia, it's horrible. I mean, we're known around the nation now as being one of the number one per capita people that's hooked on all these prescription drugs. God can give victory over that. God can give victory over that. He can save your soul and he can deliver you from that. So he's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's translated us. That means you got a transfer. The idea of it is transfer. He's transferred you into the kingdom of his dear son. You talk about getting a good transfer. He transferred you out of darkness and he transferred you into the kingdom of his dear son. If you're here tonight and born again, we're citizens of his kingdom. We got a home there. We got a transfer one day. We're in his kingdom. Verse 14, we'll close with this. In whom we have what? Redemption. How do you get redeemed? It's through his blood. See, it's just so clear, isn't it? Redemption is through his blood. And the word redemption means to set free from bondage. You see, everybody sins, so you're under that sin curse. We talk about it all the time, where you're under a sin curse. When the Lord redeems you, he sets you free from that. That's why the Bible says, whom the Son sets free, they shall be free indeed. But the only one that can set you free from your sin curse is Jesus. And the only way that you can have that done is by calling on his name and asking him to save your soul. And trust that he died for you on Calvary and rose again the third day. And what that will do, it'll make you a member of his kingdom, a citizen of his kingdom. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. What else do we have? He set us free from the bondage of our sin. And what else do we have? Forgiveness of sin. How many sins did he forgive you for? Yeah, if he missed one. If he missed one sin, it'd be sufficient to send you to hell for. You say, well, what do you confess your sin after you're saved for then? Well, the reason why you confess your sin, there's something changed the day that you got saved when you trusted Jesus. There's something that happened in you that I want you to remember. You became what that day? You became a child of God. And when you became a child of God, that simply means you belong to him, doesn't it? It means you belong to him. You're his child. And you know, once you have a child, they're your child. But you know, when you're born again and you become a child, and you sin, I want you to listen to this. That's a child sinning against its father. That's what that is. That's a child sinning against its father. So what you do, I confess my sins every day to you. That's why I can stay up so I can get them caught up every day. No, that's not salvation. That's probation. You won't make it that way. Let me tell you something. You'll miss one. You'll probably, Mike Shaman, you'll miss way more than one. You'll miss confessing something. Wouldn't you worry yourself to death? Do you really think that you're getting them paid for as you go? How could you ever be having? He paid for all your sin the day you was born again. He paid the price in full. That's what telestia means. Paid in full. Now you're a child. And when you sin, you go to your father and you confess your sin to keep you in fellowship with him, in closeness with him. You're not doing it to become a child again. You're doing it to keep your closeness with Jesus. What happens to people that drift? You know what they do? They quit confessing their sins. And then they drift. Well, that's the walk that the Lord wants us to have. And this is why he's praying this for the Colossians. They needed to walk with the Lord. And that's why it's described that way. And that's why he prayed this way in verses 9 through 14. All God's people say it. All right, let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. Y'all paid good attention, and I was windy, too.